For those who prefer their cars rocket-powered, flying in high with no boost but holding on to the dream, it's Knox Phoenix and Savage coming to you live from Manfield.
Hi, I'm Tommy the Deals Man, and I've got a deal for you. Do your eyes get tired when you're playing hours and hours of video games? Do you have trouble keeping them open? Do those pesky blinks keep you from seeing key clutch moments in your high-speed gaming moments? Well, have we got a product for you. It's called the Lid Lift, a revolutionary new stand that holds your eyelids open while you play video games.
Now, not only does the Lid Lift keep your eyelids open and keep them from blinking, it also does not let you see the screen anymore. Because the Lid Lift is a very large metal product that you set on the desk in front of you, and you peer through these little holes while it lifts your lids open. And it may cut down your vision to about 50% of the screen, but with that 50% of the screen, you do not miss a single blink.
You may be asking yourself, but how do my eyes stay moist with them propped open the entire time? Well, with the patented new technology of the pupil liquidator, it sprays a constant stream at 200 FPS and nothing but a solution of saline right into your eyes. Wonderful,
now,
wonderful product.
Not only does this saline travel at the speed of 200 frames per second, which is a measure of a computer monitor, but it also cuts off another 25% of your vision space. So, in recap, you can see 25% of the screen better than any of your competitors. And the only 25% you can see is in the top right, top left, the top bottom left, and the bottom right. And the dead center. So you can see 5% of the screen in all of those areas. Which means that you can see where you're pointing with your laser gun. Or where you're running with your person. And then you can shoot your enemies.
Still not convinced? Just listen to this happy testimony by Enrique Munamunajiju.
So, I went ahead and I bought the Lid Lift, and I can happily say that I will never go back. When I bought this product, I thought, there is no way that this will help me. I can only see 25% of the screen anymore, because there's only 5% in the top left, and the top right, the bottom right, and the bottom left, and then the dead center. And I thought, this is going to be pointless. But then I used it, and with the constant stream of saline shooting into your eyes, it really helps you to keep those moist eyes. This product cured me of my blindness.
The Lid Lift is coming to you for only 5 easy payments of 4 cents each. Get yours today. Lid Lift is a proud supporter of the podcast Live from Manfield.
Hey, I know that one.
Maybe the podcast should start now.
Oh, okay. Welcome to Live from Manfield, a Rocket League podcast where we jump on Rocket League news.
A button.
Boost you straight to Rocketeer.
B button.
All the while scoring our amazing voices in whatever accent we speak in into your ear goals. I'm Savage.
And I am Knox Phoenix. We have a really exciting episode for you guys because so much news has dropped this week, just like it always does. But it's like with this June update that Psyonix is just like leaking out, you know, week by week. We have so much. But not only that, with the RLCS deadlines closing, we have so many team shuffles happening, so we're just happy to bring you the latest in what you can expect from the newest rosters that are going to be playing in the RLCS. And we just got some fun stuff to talk about Rocket League. So let's get into it right now. Let's start with some team some team changes. What is going on in the Rocket League environment right now, Mr. Savage?
So the NA shuffle is extremely real, and all of these changes that we're going to talk about happened, let's see, I think in the past like 48 hours. We're recording this on the Monday night before RLCS signups close, which is just ridiculous.
Yep.
So many things happening, which we saw a lot of this before the qualifier won. But again, it's
not
just
to this
all these
extent.
Teams.
This was pretty crazy.
It was a big week. So we'll start it off. First off, we hear that Moses is leaving Genesis to replace J-Raw on Vex Gaming, which then turned into Eanix Gaming. I believe that is a sponsor.
We had Turtle and Garrett on a couple weeks ago to hang out with us, and they told us that, you know, the switch to the Eanix org was coming a little bit. They hinted at it, at least. We didn't know what kind of name they're going to be playing with. It's interesting to me to see roster changes happening at this level, because they decided to, make a cut on J-Raw with a roster that took IBP to game six that finished in third place out of all, you know, whatever 3,000 teams there are in the North American group. I'm not sure that I would be thinking about making roster changes if my team was in that situation, but, it just shows you that, you know, like it's a cutthroat world right now in the pro Rocket League scene.
The competitive scene is exactly where I wanted it to be at this point in time. Because early on, of course, IBP Power Cosmic was just this freaking god at the very top. And then we started to see teams like knocking them down. And okay, this wasn't the best team in the world anymore. There are all these EU teams. And then we saw some NA team showing up, and we saw Vex actually take a series off of them. And I think what Garrett and Turtle, I guess, are looking for is they're not looking to be the best team in NA. They're looking to have their best shot at actually winning this LAN.
Mm.
Getting to the LAN and actually competing at that level. So, I mean, it did not go down well. The situation between all of these people, it was not handled to the best it could have been.
Really? So I'm curious to hear a little bit more about that.
There was way more drama than there needed to be, and I don't think we need to talk too much about it. But it's just, when it comes to these situations, you're not just like on a team with these people. You're like, these are people you're playing with every day. These are people you're like building relationships with, and you can't just give them the old boot.
Now, you said something interesting there, that you're not just on a team with these people. I think I know what you mean by that. But I would like to change that saying, if you'll let me.
Go for it.
How about we instead just raise the standard of what it means to be on a team with people? Instead of just like, you're not just on a team with people, how about being on a team with someone is a big deal? Like, it's a commitment. It's that you've, like, decided that you're going to be playing and hanging out with these people. These people aren't going to be just like, you know, teammates, but they're friends. And that's kind of like how it works. And I think that's what you mean by that. It's like, you're not just on a team with them. No, you're not, because you've chosen to have a friendship with them. That's what I've been looking for in Rocket League. Friendship. LFF. Looking for friends.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I was trying to hint at. But yeah, and of course, okay, so this Moses first start was just the tip of the iceberg for all of this going down. So now the Genesis roster going into the qualifier one is...
Yeah, because they lost Moses. First off, qualifier one, if you remember, Genesis had a nice solid roster with Sad Jr. As part of it. And then like 2 days before closing, Sad Jr. leaves to go on to Kings of Urban, dropping Moses. And so... that put, Genesis in a really bad spot, like, you know, right before the thing happened. Moses going to Eanix did the same exact thing to Genesis again. So they're having a tough time keeping a roster together right before the signups close. It's kind of an interesting thing. They've had some bad luck with that. But still, they were able to make it into fourth place out of, you know, how many thousand teams. But yeah, so they've obviously picked up a third now. What's Genesis' new roster?
So Genesis roster in qualifier one was Pluto, Quinlab Dale, and Sad Jr. And then Sad Jr. left, so there was Moses. Pluto, Quinlab Dale, and Moses, right? That is...
Yep, that was their original, that was their roster for qualifier one, which Genesis. They finished fourth place in. Yep.
Okay, so now going into qualifier two, the Annex's roster is going to be Moses, Garrett, Turtle.
Right, and so replacing Moses now in the gap for Genesis is Espeon from Retrospect.
Yeah, and Retrospect after qualifier one kind of fell apart. They lost basically everyone. Everyone just kind of split up, and they didn't really have a solid team that was going on. And coming into...
I don't think they were too pleased with their performance in the group stages of the RLCS. Did they make the group stages? They made the group stages.
Yeah, they made the group stages through the loser's bracket.
And so they were just after probably... It's tough. I mean, we've seen it like a dozen times with like Mocket and other teams where like it's tough if you're not winning, doing like... at the top where you think you should be, you're going to have to start making those changes and maybe looking for other teams. So it makes sense that Espeon would have gone to Genesis. He's a great player. What other teams are seeing some interesting stuff? I think there's some big news with Retrospect, right?
Yeah, Retrospect actually just today announced their roster for the RLCS Qualifier 2. So humongous news coming from GenoCop. GenoCop, who we saw retire from Rocket League after the group stages of Qualifier 1. He was done. He had some personal stuff going on, and he wasn't going to be playing.
He's out of retirement. It was a short retirement.
Very short retirement, and that makes literally everyone happy. Well, everybody except for the people who have to play against him. But, so with Retrospect, they sent out a tweet, and they announced that their roster for Qualifier 2 was going to be GenoCop, Classics, Chrome, and Kyle Mask, which I think this team, I would have liked to see them together earlier, but of course there's the whole GenoCop situation, but this team has a lot of potential.
Yep, they do. A lot of synergy.
And if this team gets it together, they could be really strong.
The player to watch out for, of course, on Retrospect is Classics. He's a really, really good player, but he's a little bit inconsistent. And so if Classics is on, then they're going to be there. If he's not on, then yikes. But I think that's we're going to really see the sub-muscle flexed a little bit in the Qualifier 2s, I believe, where people aren't necessarily like, oh, I can't play, so we need to use our sub kind of mentality. Instead, they're going to be doing like, oh, hey, I'm not really feeling it right now, guys. Like, you know, tag the sub in. And so they're like building these strong four-man rosters with the idea that like, hey, inconsistency is a reality in Rocket League. If I'm not playing well, I will go to the sub for help. So that's a very interesting thing. Some more interesting team news is Mocket, North American team. We have just a little bit of a switcheroo going on. We have Low Five, who was, you know, strong leader of the team, is deciding that he's going to step down into the sub position, and he's going to give it to the roster of Insolences and Rizzo and new teammate Zane Jackie. So if you have been listening, you've caught that GenoCop is now playing for Retrospect. Zane Jackie's now playing for Mocket NA. You're probably thinking, well, what does that mean for Orbit? It means they're kaput. Orbit's no more. Orbit's left Orbit.
Yeah, I saw earlier today with Stev posting on Twitter, he's looking for a spot. That is, Stev was the sub for Mocket. I did not see anything about Hot Wheels said. I hope he found a team, because he's a really strong player.
He was.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting. I think this Mocket team is also going to be another huge powerhouse. Low Five, with a lot of sad tweets, he even sent out a couple. Low Five was the problem. Feels bad, man. But
I mean, that's a really cool, like, humble mentality to have. I respect the guy for being able to say, like, hey, you know what? It looks like it's me. I'm going to step down and give my team the best chance. Hopefully he's working on his own stuff to make sure that he can come back and and like, I mean, he's still a strong player. Let's not say that like Lo Five's out of it. He's still going to be a strong sub for the team. But no, it's a really cool step to see. And like I said, we're going to see that sub position like really utilized in qualifiers too. We're just starting to use it, you know, early on through the first round of qualifiers. But now people really are going to be tapping people in to get the most out of the players.
And, you know, something we saw with some of those sub positions that came into hand in Qualifier 1 was from an EU team. We saw Supersonic Avengers, which we had Doomsy on that roster, which he did not get back in time to actually play at the beginning. So they played with their sub, and when Doomsy came back about halfway through, they kept playing with the sub. And
as per Doomsy's choice.
Yes, Doomsy actually made it very clear that he wanted the team. They'd been playing well, they'd been winning. So he told them to just keep going, and they were on a roll. They were going to get there. And then they did not actually even make it to the group stages. So they had Kasabi, I believe, subbing in for Doomsy.
Right.
But, so some news from Doomsy himself. He will be playing in this qualifier too. So, Supersonic Avengers, who's like, they're right outside that very top spot in EU, which right now those top three teams are just fighting for it. You've got Flipside, of course, who showed up and actually won the online finals for EU in the qualifier one. And then you got Mocket EU, who has just gone off their hinges, and they are just looking so strong right now. And then, of course, Weedem Girls, who's dropped all the way down to the 3 spot on that rocket, the rankings coming from.
I'm going to speculate a little bit about to why maybe Weedem Girls has dropped so much. They have a very unique playstyle. Weedem Girls is like a typhoon, and if you can figure out how to remove the energy from it, then it becomes nothing more than a little drizzle. And what I mean by that is watching them play is very fascinating because they often have 3 people up in the air, which is not even unspoken. That is just a rule of Rocket League. You don't have more people than one going for challenges up in the air. They would often have 3 people making aerial passes to each other. And when it worked well. But with people learning that style, I think people are starting to learn how to shut them down a little bit, see their passing style, and maybe cut them off midair. And I think they're just going to have to get creative and quit relying on so much on just individual player skill and, you know, maybe do some different plays. So they're going to have to rework some stuff, I think. But they're still a force to be reckoned with. That's absolutely sure.
Absolutely a force. And I think they are going to show up. I think we're going to see some. I don't know, because, of course, we have, let's see, the 2 teams to move on. So now we can talk a bit about this RLCS, like this qualifier 2, there's a couple teams that aren't going to be actually in it. The top 2 teams from NA and the top 2 teams from EU, which that was Ivy Power Cosmic and
Kings of Urban,
who are moving on. They don't have to play in any of these open tournaments. They're ready. They're ready for this. I believe it's the final online tournament and then the LAN finals. Yeah.
Do they have to play in something before that? I thought they just go to the LAN. I think they're LAN-ho. LAN-ho. I made a joke, and it's a good one.
Okay, so... Wow, that was rude. So, what it actually is how it works, is the top 2 teams, the teams, IVF Power Cosmic and KOU, and then we have Flipside and Weedem Girls, correct? I believe that's...
Right.
Freedom goes with 2nd. Yeah, from EU. They auto-qualify for the group stages of Qualifier 2. So, they don't have to play in the open qualifier, but they're in the group stages.
Oh!
Yeah, which means 6 teams advance to group stage from the open qualifier. Which, actually didn't know that.
Hang on a second. Say that again. Who is making it automatically into the group stage?
So, automatically, since they finish in the top 2 in the online final... Ivy Power Cosmic and Kings of Urban and Flipside and Weedem Girls do not have to play in this open qualifier tournament with everybody.
Oh my gosh.
Automatically, yeah, they have to play the group stage. They have to play in the group stages, and then they have another online final, and then they get to move on to the LAN.
You know, just now breaking the system down, we've had months to talk about it. I don't think I agree with that.
Really? Why?
All right. So we had the first round of open qualifiers, which, led to the top eight teams making it to the group stage. And then from that fight, we had, the top two who are now automatically in the group stage of the next qualifier. But here's the difference between qualifiers. Some people didn't get to play in qualifier two. It's a different landscape now. If you're just now coming in for qualifier two, you were already at a disadvantage for not being able to play in qualifier one, and you only get one chance at this. But now that one chance that you have has a smaller pool of teams that it's drafting up into the group stage. I would have done a stage in between the group stages and the live event, maybe to where you automatically qualify for, not already filling up spots in the second qualifier group stage. I would have let two qualifiers be two separate things. And that's just, my opinion. But it's very interesting that you win qualifier one and then you're playing in qualifier two even. It's like, why is it called qualifier one? Are you not qualified yet?
Well, you automatically qualify because you're qualifying to get to the group stage. And then I like that they go to the group stage because I want to see that these teams can hold up their spot.
Okay.
If you're sending those teams just automatically through, then I don't know. You're still gonna take the top four or whatever from the group stage, and then you're actually gonna play them against those top two. And why not just give them all those series and see how they can hold up? See if they're still at the level that they were at when they won that first online final. See if the teams are still looking as strong as they were there.
Then why not make them go through the qualifying stages like everyone else of the open bracket tournament?
Because the qualifiers are a bitch to go through.
I guess I can understand that.
And I don't know. I like that they get a little push from it. Like they get a little boost from it, but it's not really too much. It's still just asking for that consistent play.
For real. For real.
Which I like. So, speaking of all of this Qualifier 2 stuff, if you are listening to this and thinking that you're going to go home from work, you're going to get out of the car once you're done driving and sign up and play on it.
Wait, the signups are closed?
By the time this goes live, the signups will be closed. Signups close at 3 a.m. tonight, Eastern time. So, unless you listen to this, I think, hopefully we can get this out before 3 a.m. So if you listen to this within the first, hour that it comes out, if you're really quick, then maybe you can still get onto it. But,
you remember how Knox may have missed the signups last qualifier?
Did you miss these? Are we talking in the future and you've already missed these?
That's not the case this time, because your boy's got a team.
Hey!
I will be playing, I am proud to announce, with Style and Complex to fill out a roster for 1492 Esports. It is a small org sponsored by a cool energy drink and some cool gaming gear. But
I do have to say that I've seen Style's name written out. And I have never once thought that you would say Style.
Yeah, I've played with them for four days now. Yeah, it's Z-T-Y-L-E. Yeah. I called him Z-Tile the entire time, and he didn't even correct me. And then finally, in the middle of one of our games during the ESL on Sunday, I made a pass to him. I was like, oh, here he goes, Z-Tile or Tile or whatever you want me to say. And he's like, it's actually just Style with a Z. And I was like, mind blown.
Yeah, I like Z-Tile.
Z-Tile.
Or you can just spell out the entire thing. C-T-Y-L-E. Here you go.
Also, we have Tyrus as a sub for the team. So we have a four-man roster. I just got the confirmation email from SmashGG just a little bit ago. So your boy's in the RLCS this time. I get to see what all the hype's about. I get to see what all the fun is.
It's a very fun experience. And hopefully you can make it as far as Epic Ariel did.
For reals? We'll see. We'll see, though. We'll see. But enough about all of this, pro Rocket League stuff. What about for those people who just like to enjoy the game for what it is, an amazing game?
Well, for all of those people, June is going to be a very good month for them.
Oh, it's we've already announced so many cool things that's going to make June an awesome month. Can there really be more? Can there be whipped cream and sugar and a cherry on top of this sundae? Not like Monday, Sunday, like, you know, day of the week Sunday, but like ice cream Sunday in the metaphor that is Rocket League as a delicious dessert treat.
The cherries are about to stack up.
Stacking cherries.
Psyonix is giving us all of the cherries. They're giving us like 10. They went to the store and they just bought all the cherries they could find. Maraschino cherries. The ones from the produce section with the stems in them cherries.
What about the ones with the seeds?
The frozen cherries. That's what the stem ones have the seeds in them.
Oh, but those are pitiful.
I hate you.
Those are pitiful cherries.
I hate everything about you. Get out.
Because they're full of pits. They're pitiful.
Get out of my ear holes.
Well, what is the cherries that we're going to announce that Psyonix has released to us and given us for this upcoming June update?
So the first cherry, the first announcement that Psyonix made was new painted and certified items.
Interesting. Now, when I heard this announcement, someone said, hey, did you know that there's new painted and certified items from Rocket League? And I was like, I have no idea what that means. What does that mean?
So it is pretty confusing, but essentially the painted items are just all of the old like wheels or toppers just recolored with new pigments. So you can find a new traffic cone that's pink instead of an orange one, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's making some new stuff, and I think it was trying to hint at something else that was coming up. But when you get to certified items, okay, I have no idea what that meant.
Yeah, that was like crazy. The painted items thing is kind of interesting. I'm like, it's kind of annoying. I was like at first hoping that you can paint your items. To this like concept of like, oh, you have like 14 traffic cones. Well, guess what? You can paint one orange and one like green. But instead, like what happens is like there are these rare items that when you discover it, it could be like a rare version of the item called a painted version. So it's almost like getting a foil in like a collectible card game. It's like a special edition of that item. And it could be whatever color it wants. It's actually randomly selected as soon as you unlock it. But it's not just like toppers and antennas. They're also doing wheels and in that as well, meaning that you can finally start, if you're lucky enough, getting the wheels to match your, like, you know, color scheme on your car. That's what I'm most excited about. But yeah, certified items is a very interesting concept. What is it?
So certified items means that the item is going to track a specific statistic when you're playing in like online matches. So if you get, I'll use straight off of the blog post from Psyonix. For example, if I discover a sniper wizard hat, you've acquired a special version of the wizard hat topper. So that's going to track long goals, just specifically long goals. And so every time you score a long goal in an online match, the hat's stat counter will increase by one. So once you get to 50 long goals with the hat, it turns into a skillful sniper wizard hat, which that's just a mouthful.
It is.
And then after you get to 100 or 150 or something, it turns into an incredible sniper wizard hat. And then just keeps going like that.
I really like this, kind of. All right. Well, the idea of like certain items tracking different things is where I get hung up a little bit because y'all know Jaboy here doesn't really like toppers. Actually, I've been rocking the shades for the past week or two, and trying them out, but it's the first time I've used a topper in a very long time. So what if I get something like the wizard hat, which I absolutely detest, and it tracks something that I would love to track? So I'm not happy about that part. The thing I am happy about is, one, it looks like that this is going to be like seeable by other players, that other players will be able to look at you know, this thing and say like, oh, he's got the skill for sniper wizard hat. He's like progressed a lot. But two, I hit Rocketeer about 2.5 months ago. I have no more progression left in game other than just rank, which is like a super difficult grind. Like I was hoping that a level cap would be lifted and that it would maybe go to some different stuff. Now I actually have something to progress beyond just my in-game level. I have things to collect and like, you know, oh, I've got the, you know, miles tracking wheels or whatever. I don't know. And for every mile that I drive, and so I get to boost up that wheel thing and earn special editions of those wheels. That is really exciting to me.
Yeah, and it's really cool because it's showing that Psyonix is, like, tracking all of these stats, which nobody really knew if they were doing before or if it was just, like, a pop-up that showed up. Because, you know, at the very end of every match, it shows, like, your goals, your assists, your saves, something else. And this shows that, okay, it's going to track how many long shots you had, how many clears you had.
We're going to take a quick sidebar on this conversation real fast because I have a very interesting story for you.
Ooh.
If you remember, a long time ago, I said I was kind of under NDA for something that I learned at PAX.
Oh, no.
Well, check this out. So I was able to talk with Psyonix Luke at PAX because he wanted to come and check out the Rocket League tournaments that were happening there. Psyonix Luke is the esports coordinator for Psyonix, so he's the man who's responsible for the RLCS and all of this fun stuff. Like, he's a big dog. You know, we kept asking him when certain things were going to be coming, and one of the things that was mentioned was an API for stat tracking, all right? And so this would be something that gives developers the ability to, you know, create third-party apps and programs that can integrate with Rocket League's stats as they're tracked and, you know, do different things with them. Well, we have a supporter of the show, one of our patrons, Pfeiffer, is a computer science major, and he got on my stream.
Computer engineer, actually.
I'm sorry.
He's a computer engineer.
He's a computer engineer. Student. He does smart stuff. He's written all kinds of programs and stuff for me that help me stream. He's a really cool guy. He let me know the other day that he just received an API for Rocket League stats, and that he is already working on a program for tracking stats, which means that not only is Psyonix tracking these stats, but they have broken down how their stats were tracked, because when we asked Psyonix Luke about that, he specifically said, like, well, that's very difficult because the way that we have tracking stats right now, it doesn't lend itself to an API, so we would have to rework that entire system. Psyonix has reworked that system and built an API based on that new system for tracking these stats that is now going to be handed out to developers. This is pretty cool.
So you're a little off on what Pfeiffer found with his API. Because Pfeiffer's API can pull the stats from the Rocket League stats website. Given a name of a player. Because I was talking to him about this, because he's all gunning to get a t-shirt from Amazon for developing an app for the Echo. You know, the little Amazon in-home.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. Alexa.
So what he's trying to do, Alexa. What he's trying to do with it is he's trying to say, Alexa, what is Gibbs' rank? So that Alexa would be able to look at the Rocket League stats website and actually pull that information and be able to respond with it.
The man's a genius.
The man is an absolute genius.
Why can't he do that for Siri, though?
Yeah, he will.
He will.
If he doesn't, I just won't let him listen to the podcast anymore.
We won't let him listen to the... All right.
He'll be on the blacklist.
But anyway, so that's cool stuff about new stat tracking and certified items. We announced, well, that Psyonix announced and we reported on.
We announced.
A while ago that there are 4 new cars coming out with the collector's edition of the game. And if you purchase the collector's edition of the game, then you get access to these 4 new cars a month in advance of everyone else. Well, this past week, 2 of those cars were released in a fun little trailer. They didn't really come as too big of a shock.
I hate you. Again.
It didn't come as too much of a shock because these are 2 more SARP cars, one of which is the Aftershock.
Have I mentioned that I hate you?
And the other is the Marauder. So that means out of the 7 original SARP cars, that there is just 1 more remaining that isn't into the game of Rocket League, and that is the Renegade. And I don't see the Renegade coming anytime soon. If I remember correctly, I think the Renegade is almost a lot like the Roadhog. it would be strange to have the Roadhog and the Renegade.
I don't actually know. I wish I don't remember like pictures.
There, it's really hard to find pictures of Sarpcars. I tried to find them one time, and there's like
no. There was. We talked about this before, and I did find. I found a little list, and I have no idea where that went.
Now let's talk about a little bit the looks of these cars, and what we think that their handling's going to be. We've even had some Psyonix reps talk a little bit about what they're going to be and their place in the competitive scene might be. All right, so first off, we have Marauder, which is looks like an SUV, kind of like ATV kind of car.
Yeah, it looks like a Humvee is what I would equate it to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good... It's almost like a Hummer, for reals. And it looks kind of like boxy. It looks like it's going to be very similar to the Ripper. It really does. And from what I've seen in the trailer. I'll speculate what I think, because you've actually looked up a little bit about what the devs have said.
I have heard nothing about the Marauder.
Gotcha. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
I think you're pretty accurate with the Ripper equivalent. I think that's going to be pretty close. And somewhere between a Ripper and an Octane, I think it's going to be where it falls.
Gotcha.
Maybe a little wider Octane.
Maybe. I don't know. And then the other one is the Aftershock, which looks a little bit like the Octane, but the nose of the car comes to a finer point, and its spoiler lays out almost like wings of a plane, and it kind of lays out a little flatter. Now, in speculation of what they're going to be doing with these four cars, I figure that they're looking for something to kind of work into the meta of the competitive scene. Because if you watch competitive Rocket League right now, if you've watched the RLCS, you may have noticed that there's only three cars that are being played pretty much. It's the Octane, it's the Dominus, and it's the Breakout. And Psyonix doesn't really like that. They like to show the diversity of the game and the creativity of the game. And so they really want to try to get more cars in the competitive scene. I think that's what they're trying to do with the Aftershock, at least. I don't think it's going to be necessarily an Octane replacement. I think it's going to be a middle ground between the Dominus and the Octane. It's going to sit a little lower than the Octane, but it's going to be a little longer and wider, and it's going to get that those kind of hitboxes that, you know, make it easy to dribble, but also easy to get nice, solid, accurate hits on. I think what people are looking for. I don't know. What did Durkin say?
I believe it was Durkin. I may have been incorrect on who actually posted, but it probably was Durkin. He's always there.
It's always Durkin.
But Durkin was saying that it's going to handle more like a Breakout, when it's actually a really flat car, except when it comes up for that wing in the back. Which, it'll be interesting to see how much the ball like sits through that wing, and that's how true. High this hitbox actually goes. Or if they just break all of their previous physics and like put a slant on the top of the car.
No, they definitely will not do that.
But yeah, it really reminds me, I think it's going to be very similar to like the Hot Shot, which used to be like the most popular car in the game. But I think something along the Hot Shot is going to be how this car feels like with its hitbox. And I think it's going to handle like a Breakout or a Dominus.
Maybe. Yeah.
But we know nothing. So that was the second cherry, if anybody's counting at home.
Well,
so we have one more cherry that's like the biggest cherry. That's like, this cherry has a pit. This cherry has a stem on it. This cherry is like the size of your hand. This cherry is going to last you all day.
Okay, what is it? Just tell me.
Psyonix released a tweet earlier today with a link to their blog post talking about their new trade-in system.
Trade-in system. I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. So, if you've noticed in all of the items you've been gaining after games, you've seen a lot of uncommon items. And some are regular, like the wizard hat is just a regular item. Some, like the chick magnet, which I have 8 of, are uncommon items.
they drop less often.
So now Psionics has introduced two new types of items. They've introduced rare and very rare.
Oh!
And how they've implemented the trading system with this. You can trade in 5 uncommon items, and that gives you a rare item.
One rare item, right. And then you can trade in 5 rare items, and they get at you one very rare item. And so now you have a reason to have, like, you know, I literally have 9 unicorn horns. I unlocked my 7th grad cap today.
I'm actually going to trade in 5 chicken magnet, chick magnets and still have 3 left over just in case I want to do the other thing that this thing lets you do, which is player to player trading.
Nope.
But that's coming later.
Yep. But don't go trading away all your stuff yet, because not in this June update, but at a later update, Psionics wants to make sure that everyone knows that there will be player-to-player trading, and so don't get rid of all of your spare stuff just yet, because you may have something that someone else is looking for. You know, I'll be honest, I'm going to trade away the excess that I have of everything. One, because I play the game a crap ton, and I unlock everything at a ridiculously alarming rate. Two, because it's not just toppers and antennas that you're going to be unlocking that are rare and very rare and more uncommon items. Yes, that's right. There are new rare decals and there are new rare boosts. That is... Ooh. I've been asking for this for months. So long.
I just want to put fancy things on my Octane. I want some new decals.
Now think about this, Savage. The synergy that this part of the update has with the earlier announced part of the update, that you have an end screen that shows off your car. So think about how complete the circle is now, where you will have rare items, items that track stats and show off how many cool things you've done with that item on your car, all the while getting to show it off at the end of a screen if you win that match.
Absolutely. It's going to be fantastic. And with the different, like, colored items as well, you're going to have that awesome pink traffic cone on top, and people are going to be like, whoa, this dude has a pink traffic cone on his car.
Yep.
That's, and it's also awesome.
Worth mentioning that in their little picture of the trade-in items and how that works, they released just a tiny little spoiler. 4 of the 5 items that they were trading in were previously seen in-game items, but there was a 5th item, the trucker hat, which is not in-game. So we already know one of the new items that's coming out is the trucker hat. There you go. If you want to sport.
So basically we know everything about this new update. There's going to be a trucker hat.
There you go. Illuminati confirmed. Half-Life 3 confirmed. Because the trucker hat.
Yep. Okay, so with that giant hand-sized cherry just full of a pit with a giant stem the size of a straw on top of our sundae, that's going to do it for all we know about the June update right now.
For now. I would have been satisfied with all they had announced 2 weeks ago about the June update. This thing is so freaking huge. It's blowing my mind. I think, like, the download for this update is going to be larger than the game files are itself, because they've pretty much just rewritten it. Rocket League 2 is coming out in June, guys. I don't know if you've gotten the message yet, but Rocket League 2, the sequel to Rocket 2 League, is coming out.
And, you know, I'm still under my NDA, but I can throw a little hint, because I don't think the people that made me sign it or listen to this podcast that, you know, Rocket League Boatsketball.
Oh my gosh.
It's not Boatsketball. It's just Boats Ball 2 coming out late July.
Get out of here. Just leave.
Or late June.
Why is there a podcast hosted by 2 people who hate each other?
It's fine. Okay, so moving away from the update, which we think is going to be...
No, we're going to pause for a second, because my mom listens to the podcast, and I had dinner with her last night, and she asked me when Boat Baseball was coming out for Rocket League, because she doesn't fully understand when we're joking and not joking.
So, Mrs. Phoenix, it's coming out late July.
No, it's not coming out.
Mark your calendar.
Because she also thought we were really sponsored by RC Cola.
Well, we were. No. Until somebody got sponsored by someone better. I spend all day just rolling around in my limo that Kroger supplies me with. It's a good life to live, and I'm sorry that I couldn't help the podcast, but I don't have to work anymore.
I can't help
but
think...
I just stay at home.
That, like, you know, my mom doesn't play Rocket League or know the video game world, but I can't help but think that there's also some poor gullible listener out there that thought Boats Ball was coming out too.
Well, it is. Late July. Mark your calendars.
And someone
if
went
it's
out
not
and
out
bought
by August,
a nice 24-pack of RC Cola to support the podcast.
if Boats Ball is not out by August, you can send a tweet my way.
Then Savage is uninstalling.
And I will uninstall Rocket League for 1,000 years. I will take my computer and beat it with a hammer. That's what I'll do. Okay. If there's no Boats Ball, I will post a picture of me beating my computer with a hammer. A video, not just a picture. Just to let you know I'm serious.
Okay, well, there you have it.
Mark
your calendars. There you go. We're going to go to an email that was sent into the show so that we can talk about it. We love to get emails from you guys of discussion topics and stuff. So this one is from Buzz0309, and Buzz says, I have a question for you guys. I wanted to know how much the distance from you and your screen affects your gaming abilities. I'm a PS4 player, and against the odds, I play on a PC monitor with a standard desk. I feel like I'm a better player when I'm closer to the screen, but because you play with a controller, it's less comfortable to use a controller under the desk. So how do you guys feel about the subject, and how do you play with your desk and screen setup? Greetings from the Netherlands, Buzz0309. Well, Buzz.
Oh, the Netherlands. I was there.
What?
I should have seen you. Yeah.
When were you in the Netherlands?
It wasn't very recent. It was spring break of last year or something. Yeah.
Oh, you could have just...
I should have stopped by. Buzz, I probably saw you. There's not that many people in the Netherlands.
Now, we all know that I am OCD about weird stuff like this. In fact, one of my friends linked me a YouTube video that is a... it is a muscle like and skeletal doctor who made a video about how to do exercises and stretches for your hands for gamers. And so now I do daily stretches and exercises with my hands, and I run them under warm water before I play, and a bunch of other weird cultish stuff because I do weird things like this. Now, when I played Call of Duty competitively 7-8 years ago, I had this like posture thing where I couldn't play if I was leaning back. It was really weird. I had to make sure that I was sitting on the edge of my seat, and then I put one ankle like sideways on the ground, and I rested my other foot on top of that ankle. It was a weird like thing, and I had to like have that posture when I played. And so it's no surprise then that for Rocket League, I have a posture that I play in. But what's really interesting is that I took a year and a half break of like gaming. And in that break, I somehow switched something mentally to now I can't play Rocket League if I'm leaning forward in my chair. I have to be leaning back and reclined with my feet up on something. But I still make sure that I'm close to the screen. And this is something that I've put way too much thought into than I would care to admit. But I have experimented with distances from the screen almost to the point of keeping a logbook.
Jeez.
But... I do have like a little like footstool under my desk at a certain position, and I know that I get the tip of my toes to touch the post of my desk with my feet, and that I am at the correct distance from my screen when I sit there. I know I'm weird, and I know I'm OCD, but hopefully it doesn't surprise you too much to let you know that there is someone that thinks about this stuff just as much as you do, Buzz.
You're weird.
I know, but what about you, Savage? Do you, like, are there anything that... factors so, into this kind of stuff?
Well, right now I'm sitting in my chair. That's about as much thought as I put into it. I'm usually in a chair. I'm usually in my desk chair. Sometimes I think in like really high pressure situations I like lean forward, but a lot of the time I the left side of my desk is pretty open, so a lot of the time I just like stick my legs up and like recline. But yeah, I don't really think about it too much. Sometimes I lay in bed and play.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that. Now, I have a laptop that I bring with me to my office sometimes, and I'll play on my lunch break.
So do you, during your lunch break, do you go out in the middle of the office and tell everyone to move because you have to sit in the middle with the chair and you have to use someone else's desk because it looks the most like yours at home?
No, and then
you have
to, but like, it's just not like the same comfortable experience that I usually like, you know, to have for my home. But this does bring up a more interesting topic that we can talk a little bit about. You know, think about a player like me. Now, if I make it to the LAN, you know, this is just an interesting topic. Like, people don't realize exactly, you know, what I was going to go into a LAN because there's could be this idea where you've got, you know, so many thousand people there cheering you on and you'll play your best because of the energy of the room. Or it could be one of these things where I play on a widescreen monitor. Like, I play on an ultra-wide monitor. I play in my nice comfy desk chair with my feet reclined and, like, up on my, like, speaker under my desk. Like, that can't be recreated at a LAN, you know? And I think that my performance might even suffer if I go to a LAN, which is really interesting. I don't know. What do you think we can expect to see at the first Rocket League LAN?
I think that's an interesting point. Maybe you'll see Grenoby showing up with a monitor in his hand. I think absolutely, like, 100%, everybody's going to be playing with their controller.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to bring their own controller. They're going to bring... What else would they... I think probably they'll bring their headphones. They'll play on their specific, like, headset and, like, mic setup or whatever they have going.
Did I mention on the show that I played on a LAN build of Rocket League?
Yeah, you talked about it in our PAX episode, which is...
I don't think I talked about it in the PAX episode. I think I forgot to mention that there was a special build of Rocket League that had a LAN mode.
Huh. What was specific about the build?
I think I might have mentioned it a couple weeks ago, though.
I think you did at some point. I remember. So...
But okay. Anyway, there is a LAN build out there, so we know that Rocket League LAN is a thing. Although it's not a true LAN build, it still has to have a dedicated machine running the game, and but it's based on local area network speeds, so basically your ping is sub 4 milliseconds.
Which is pretty decent.
Yep.
I mean, I usually get about 0, maybe 4 when I'm playing on exhibition matches.
Do you think they would let me play on an ultra-wide monitor if I go to the LAN?
I think if you got into the LAN and you wanted to bring your monitor, they would not say no.
Do you think so?
I think they'd let you do it.
I don't know, man. Like, those things seem regulated, like, and stuff. At the PAX LAN, I know they realize that this is like a more of an open sign-up kind of environment, but there were several times where you couldn't even plug in your own controller. Like, and I realize that you're obviously going to be able to bring your own controller to the you know, RLCS, but I figure that, you know, especially with the sponsors like NZXT and Razer and stuff, that they're going to be probably trying to brand the machines that everyone gets to see them playing on. I wouldn't be surprised if you have to play on their machine and their monitor, maybe with your controller, but... Yeah, also, all pictures of LANs and stuff, you also see people wearing the same headset, so I'm guessing we're going to be seeing, like, Razer headsets and everything like that, too.
See, but with those people, most of them are wearing their, like, orgs jerseys, and...
That's true.
Wearing their, like, organization supplied them with those headsets. Like,
that's true.
If people have a jersey and Razer's one of their sponsors, they're going to be playing on a Razer keyboard.
That's a good point.
I think so maybe if some team, like, I guess Weedham Girls is that an organization? That's not an organization.
I don't think it's I think it's a weird name for a pro Rocket League team, and okay, I can't wait Kings until some org picks them up.
Kings of Urban is not sponsored. Kings of Urban just chills.
They chill. They're sponsored by Big Foam Hats.
If they definitely are. Shout out to Art's picture. His nice little selfie. You guys should go check out Arto_Mata on Twitter and see Art with his cute little mirror pic of him wearing his cowboy hat. But yeah, I think seeing them at the LAN, which there's a very good chance they make it there.
Yeah.
But
the real question is, though, Savage, is will I be able to bring my lid lift to the LAN? Because I can't game without my lid lift.
I think they may say no on that one. They may cut you down there.
Well, I refuse to compete then.
Okay, so here, okay, so if you make it to the LAN, if you happen to win through group stages and then get in that, you know what's interesting?
What?
Going back to the RLCS qualifier.
Yeah.
The online final of qualifier 2, the top 4 teams per region advanced to live finals.
Yeah.
So that means there are 8 teams at the LAN.
Yep, there's an 8-team group stage at the LAN. Now, I think they changed this. Honestly, I really do. I think that it was only going to be the top 4 teams, like 2 from each region. I really do think that they like pulled a little switcheroony under our noses. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's going to be a lot of like Rocket League at the LAN then, cuz I was thinking, okay, you got 4 teams. There's not that many different permutations of playing each team that you can find. But
yeah. Also, for those that are interested, Savage and I are really, really, really open and looking forward to the idea of attending the LAN. We really want to meet some of you guys there. They haven't announced a date yet, and so that kind of makes it difficult. And also, they haven't announced the location, and that makes it a little bit difficult for us to kind of plan these kind of things. But we're going to do our best to be there. Also, there's the financial obligation of trying to make fly halfway across the country for us. So, to go to a LAN. So, we'll see.
Yeah. I am a college student now. So, trying to get out there is going to be really interesting for me. If it's not at the, like, perfect date for me, if it's any time, like, after August, I think, like, any time in August, I'm just not going to be able to swing it.
Well, it's a 3-month thing. And so, like this happening in June, it's pretty set in stone that the live finals are going to be in July. My problem is that in July, there's a week in July that I'm going to Mexico.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
No, or in Spanish. No.
That's a good joke that you did right there, Savage. Good joke.
Thank you. It worked really hard on that one.
That's a good goof. We'll keep that one in. I won't edit that one out of the podcast.
I wrote that one down before we started. I pulled up my English to Spanish dictionary and just found the section that said no and seemed pretty easy to remember. But okay, so we should move on. Thank you for that email, Buzz. That was quite the dinger.
Thank you so much, yeah.
All right, so how was your week in Rocket League, Knox?
You know what? Why don't you go first? Let me ask you how your week in Rocket League is, because we have a segment that on the show that we're going to talk about when we get there, which you just let me flow it. How was your week in Rocket League?
So my week was pretty dandy, because I got to do something this week that I haven't got to do in like a month at this point. I got to actually stream me playing Rocket League. Like a lot.
Like live? And like you didn't just record it? And oh my goodness.
No. I had one day that I went for like almost 5 hours, which just like that much consistent internet is ridiculous.
Wow.
I've never had that happen.
Well, them Hoosiers out there in Indiana must be upgrading them telephone lines.
Yeehaw.
That was insensitive.
That was Indiana. That's exactly how we talk. Everywhere. But yeah, I'm excited. I hope it's keeping up. Because like getting to play, I met Psyonix Art, got to play with him
because
I
was streaming. And
the dude, he hopped into my channel.
Oh,
I was playing some games. Yeah, no, I went out to San Diego just like on a day trip. Hopped on a plane, went up to the Psyonix building, walked in. Hey y'all, it's me from Indiana. And then met Art, because he was the only one that would, he was the one that had to actually like walk me out of the building because I was scaring the rest of the developers.
But cool, you met Art on your stream. That's fun.
Yeah, and then I got to play some games with him.
Ooh.
Played some some Rocket Labs. Got to play with. It is some fun. Spent some time. Dude's a popular guy.
Good stuff.
But yeah, it was a fun week for me. And I'm hoping it's going to just like keep up.
Nice.
And, mm-hmm.
Well, this week, for me, there's so much I could talk about. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about that I was going to have to take a break from Rocket League to maybe kind of clear my mind, come back to the game with a new perspective. And so I set myself a mandatory 2-day break. And so that was like, you know, a couple weeks ago. And I said, you know, hear me now that Tuesday and Wednesday I will not play Rocket League. Well, what happened was...
You played on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, I got...
More than usual.
I came home on Tuesday and then Psyonix tweeted out like, oh, hey, by the way, guess what? 6 p.m. Xbox crossplay is enabled. And I was like, well, I've got to play now because my Xbox friends are going to be playing and I have to, you know, get on. And so I decided to get on and queue against the Xbox players. Hang on.
Okay.
And then on Wednesday, a team that was looking for a player knew that I was looking to find a team. And so they messaged me and said, hey, can you run a couple games with us to see how things work? And so I was like, oh, crap. Well, I'm supposed to be taking a break. So day two of my break, I broke and also played Rocket League to try out for a team. And then I just stayed on after that because after I had broke, you know, what's the point? You know, if you're going to break your diet for a piece of cake, you might as well eat the cake.
Well, that's not sound advice. If you're on a diet, don't eat a whole cake.
Or, you know, do what you want. Cake's delicious. But okay. This past week, I got really frustrated with the game again, and I just was not performing well early in the week. And so I was like, that's it. Wednesday and Thursday, I am taking a 2-day break, and I am going to do this as an experiment for the world, for all the people out there that are on their grind and push themselves too hard with Rocket League. This is what you can do. And I'll let you know what happens. So Wednesday, I made sure that I did not play Rocket League, and to keep myself from it, I downloaded Overwatch, and I played Overwatch all day on Wednesday and all day on Thursday.
I would just like to remind everybody from, I believe it was the Haku episode. I think it was Haku. Maybe not. I don't know. But Nox was very adamant about how dumb Overwatch was.
I didn't say how dumb it was.
We shouldn't be wasting our time.
I didn't say any of that. I said I was worried for how it might impact the competitive scene of Rocket League. And I'm still concerned. Look, even myself, a Rocket League enthusiast beyond any measure, who took 2 days out of his week to play Overwatch instead of Rocket League. So there's that.
And that was actually coming back to me. That was talking with Garrett and Turtle. And look at them. They're one of the best teams in North America. And you're trying to tell them, no, you're going to suck if you play Overwatch.
And so on Friday, I got back on Rocket League. And the results of the break were positive. I ended up going up 3 divisions, played better than I had ever played. It took just maybe about 20 or so minutes to get warmed back up into the mechanics of the game. But the muscle memory is not going to leave you in 2 days. And so it was a positive experience. If you find yourself grinding, I would, you know, I'm going to say that you should probably make it a thing that every month of gaming hard that, you know, you make sure you take a 2-day break of Rocket League every month. Fresh up your perspective, pull away from the game. It really, really did help me. I would recommend it. But coming out of that, we have a new segment on the show that I'm really excited to introduce. It's called Nox's Talk, all right? And it's just we'll keep it really brief this episode because we've already been talking for way too long. But this is going to be a segment where, you know, I think a lot, and so I'm going to take some of these deep thoughts that I have about gaming and Rocket League and esports and all that jazz, and then I just bring it to discuss. And sometimes, you know, your questions that you send into emails and stuff will spark these conversations that we have in Nox's Talk. But this is what sparked Nox's Talk for this week. I was invited by my good friend Fireworks to try out for a recently opened sub position on Vision. All right. If you're not familiar with Vision, they finished 9th or so out of the 3,000 North American teams. They were only beat out by Mocket NA to keep them from going to the group stages of the RLCS. So I was very excited to try out for the sub position on Vision. And it got me thinking, because I was waiting to hear back from them, but at the same time, I had also heard that Genesis had lost a player. Now, I had maybe, perhaps, floated the idea to Pluto that I could be a sub for Genesis, to which he swiftly and promptly said, no, thank you.
I mean, I would have said no, thank you.
No, he was cordial and, you know, really did explain the situation that they, you know, someone in their situation had to go with someone who was a known, capable quantity of Rocket League. It makes sense. But that gets me to this topic that I wanted to talk about this week of people and how they can break into the pro scene. And how it's very, very difficult to get in. Because there's only two routes you can take to be a professional Rocket League player. And that's one, you can sign on with an already established pro team, all right? When, you know, Kings of Urban decides to drop one of their players from the roster, then you can message Jacob and they can pick you up and you are now a pro Rocket League player for Kings of Urban. Or two, you can start your own team and play your way all the way up to get noticed enough for the power rankings, and then you'll be in the Rocket Royale and you will be a pro team. Both of those are extremely difficult, all right? When I was talking with Pluto about their situation in Genesis, now I made sure that I was made him know that I wasn't talking about myself, but I was very interested in this idea that there could be one of the best North American players, like top three, amazing player, but he had just never had the chance to sign on with a pro team. No one would know to pick this guy up. He would have just as much difficulty going onto a pro team as I would, because no one knows his name. He still has to go and find a team of people who we hope rotate well and pass well and have good teamwork to be on a good enough team to make it into the pro scene. It's a very difficult situation. What do you think?
So I agree with that. And I think it's something we saw. We talked to Lo5 about it, actually. And all this game, like getting into this pro scene, it's all about like knowing people. It's a very social game, and a lot of it is based on who you know, who knows you. And like I played with Kaz. He still hasn't like broken into the scene or anything, but he was always really good friends with Zane Jackie. And you need those type of friendships. You need those people. You need to be in a close relationship with someone that is on a pro team if you want to have like the chance to be on a pro team or get up to that level. Because honestly, there's no one that can just play at this like mediocre level, like on the bubble level, and expect to and be like, okay, I'm ridiculously good. And they could be like one of the best players in the world, but you can't get to that spot without playing against these top level teams. And sure, okay, you've got people like Scrubkiller or something who rose to the like top of the 1v1 leaderboards and he got noticed by that. But in that same position, okay, so you're either going to need to be so good that you can rise to the top of the rankings by yourself and you can play against people and get noticed and just be that much of a good all-around player that you're going to be able to get up there no matter who you're playing with, or you need to know someone. It's all about getting into this pro scene, especially in Rocket League. I don't know. I don't have much experience with any other esports, but getting into the pro scene is just being able to know people who can help you get into the pro scene. It's not entirely about just being a solid technical player.
Yeah, and I don't want to be, you know, super negative about it or anything, because I do believe that if you are a good enough quality player, it will work out. Like, you will get noticed. Like, you know, if you're a good enough player, you can solo queue into doubles and you can get, you know, super champ or grand champ. But like, there are things that make it easier, and it's just interesting to me because I would consider myself pretty well networked. You know, I'm on a first name basis with several pros, and beyond that, I have, you know, probably 40 pros on my like Steam friends list that I could message, and they wouldn't think like, oh, who's this guy? Like, they actually kind of, you know, would recognize Nox Phoenix. And still with that, like, I find it difficult, you know, to have even gotten the attention of like teams that had open spots or open rosters. It's really interesting that when there is an open spot on like the pro teams, they don't want to play with anyone who hasn't played professionally already. It's almost like the easier route is to come up like a team like Vex did, which is now Yannix, but you kind of almost have to blaze your own path into the scene right now. And it's very interesting. But you can imagine why there's no open tryouts. Everyone would want to try out for iBuyPower if they announced that they had an open position. So it's tough, but it's a good tough.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But that been this week's Nox Talk. Thank you for tuning in to the segment. If you have something that you think would be an interesting discussion for the Nox Talk, you can send it into our email, or you can send it into our website. We get both.
Yeah, we do have a website. But first off, we're going to wrap this show up by recognizing our top Rocket tweeters from this week. So first off, we have Cal from Kansas, flying high.
Flying high. Right? Flying high. Cal from Kansas, flying high.
Now we got Kaz the Rocketeer.
Kaz money.
Kaz. See, there were some extra ones in there because I forgot to do it last week. Then we have C-Hop 72. Goat. A is for Hart. Jesper Olsen. Declan Sparling.
And you may have noticed, yeah, who wasn't in that list this week.
I would like to take a moment of silence to recognize our fallen ninja. Our fallen level 500 bajillion thousand tingers, Hanzo Hattori.
Well, you'll be starting back over at level one, Hanzo, but we'll see you back as a top Rocket tweeter soon, man. It was a good, strong run. We'll see you soon. You may have noticed that we didn't have a guest in the past couple weeks, per se. We've featured you guys as guests last week. But we want to let you guys know that that's not because we're trying to like slack or trying to pull away from the show or anything like that. But instead, really, that it's just becoming more difficult to find guests for the show because we came out so strong having a guest every single week. And so finding people that are free, especially with the RLCS going on, people are just really busy. We want to make sure that we don't just pull anyone on the show, that we have someone that's really high quality that you want to listen from. So there's that kind of ordeal going on. That being said, we're going to make sure that we do at least pull in a guest, probably twice a month, at least once a month. But that's not the only way that our Patreon supporters can win prizes and stuff on the show. We do want to do a giveaway and a raffle for our Patreon supporters this week, and we're going to pull the raffle right now for our Patreon supporters, and I'm spinning the wheel. Who's it going to be? It is...
You want to know what my wheel pulled up?
What'd it pull up?
Matthew
Huntsman, you are the proud owner of an amazing prize, a custom Live from Manfield controller decal. So you need to let us know what controller you play with, whether it's a 360, Xbox One, PS4 controller, or other. We have a decal that is printed with the Live from Manfield logo on it, and we are going to get that out to you. Thanks so much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. Speaking of supporting the show,
you know what? Consider supporting the show. That's a good segue. So what you guys do for us every month, all of our patrons, they help us get to do things like opening up our website, like expanding into more than just a podcast, maybe opening some kind of weekly event that we can hold. I don't know. You can read more about it on our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/LFManfield. So check us out. Consider doing it. We're not begging for it. We just appreciate the support.
Yep. Special thanks to our patrons. We have the Grand Champion Guitarist. We have our champion level supporters, Umerix, Matthew, and Piper J. And new challenger supporter this week, Pate Saint Mate, thank you so much for joining the Patreon club. Also, it's worth noting that we reached our second level goal on Patreon, and one of the things for our second level goal is bonus content. And so Savage and I have already been talking about what kind of bonus content we can create. Now, this is special, all right, because we're going to be doing some literally special bonus content that only our Patreon supporters get to listen to. So if you want to catch all of Nox and Savage's fun shenanigans, then make sure that you become a Patreon supporter for that. One of which is going to be, I'm going to record the full song for the Rocket League inspired American Idol audition that I had in the last episode. So if you want to hear full version of that song, that's coming out to all of our Patreon supporters in about a week.
And I will have a full response for it to break down this audition and tell him how amazing he is. Or how bad he is. You'll just have to wait and see. Which way did he take it? So,
If you have any questions, you can send them into our Gmail, livefrommanfield@gmail.com, or on our shiny new website, lfmanfield.com. We have a contact page on there. You can just fill out the form and contact us. We will get that and probably feature your question on the show. There's a good chance of it.
So, we both stream Rocket League, and I can almost say that I do it daily now, but Woo! Nox definitely does. You can find me at twitch.tv/savagerl.
And I'm twitch.tv/NoxPhoenix.
And just a special note about SavageRL's stream page, that if I get up to 100 followers, which is very close if you check out my page...
You're going
to
shave your head?
I will be... Nope. But I will be giving away a miracle bamboo pillow.
What the heck is that?
Don't know where that is? Check out the stream.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Make sure that you check us out on iTunes, subscribe, leave a like, and possibly leave a review. If you do leave a review, then we will make the other person on the show read it in a silly, ridiculous accent. We do have a new review this week, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a while, but Savage, you get to read the review. I believe it's by Who's That Guy 252 is our new review. And you are going to read this in the accent of a Jamaican. Jamaican be crazy. Wagwan with ya. Go on and read the review with a Jamaican accent, don't ya? Everything be Irish.
The number one source for any Rocket League fan, man.
Man.
LF Manfield has cemented itself as the best option for everything Rocket League, man. Great guests, good discussion, and terrible puns. What more could you ask for in a podcast about a video game, man? These guys do a great job, and this podcast is one of the things I look forward to most in the week, man. The show has a great production value, an amazing intro track, and some pretty amazing send-off lines. Shoot goals, not Erwin, man. Keep up the great work, guys. Oh. Man.
Thank you so much for leaving that kind review. Who's that guy? 252. Real quick, before we sign off, I've had a couple people request that if you people have asked to support the show, but Patreon requires credit cards, and that you would rather just be able to do it through PayPal and PayPal balances. We have a Twitch Alerts account set up on our Twitch page, which is twitch.tv/livefrommanfield, all one word. And you can donate through PayPal to that, and it will come to the show, directly to the show, and benefit only the show. So that is an option out there if you wanted to do that. We sign off each week with a special sign-off phrase selected by our listeners. I tweeted out a little while ago for some custom sign-off phrases. This week's sign-off phrase was sent in by Charlie at Links and Beans on Twitter. And that is going to do it for us this week. I am Nox Phoenix.
And I am Savage.
And remember, goals speak louder than words.